members of this church here. And Byron came during a time of prophetic ministry. I remember Damien was here during that time, and Tony, and Byron came and ministered to the body here. And as you can tell by you looking at him, he looks so relaxed. He's from California, and as a multi, God's really created him with a lot of talents and abilities. And but the most important thing, and the thing that will last into eternity, is that Brian, I really believe, carries a gift, a prophetic gift to speak. What did I say? Byron. Everybody say it's not Brian. It's Byron. What a week I'm having. You know, Byron, I really believe he carries a gift to minister to the body of Christ through the prophetic. And so without any further ado, I want to ask Byron Easterling to come up this morning. And Byron, just do what the Lord tells you to do, okay? You don't have to do anything traditional, okay, if whatever the Lord tells you.
All right.
Okay, God bless you.
Thanks, bro.
Hi, Capstone family and friends. How are you? I am from California, but I did live in Texas. You know what Lyle Lovett says? You're not from Texas, but Texas wants you anyway. So I feel comfortable coming back here, and thanks, guys, for having me. I want to do a little cleanup first. I've got, actually, what's really fun is when you come in and you end up having the elders pray over you before a service, this is really powerful. I always love that. And so they came, and then when they come to get you, that's one of two things. They're really scared or they really want to outpour. These guys just poured it out on me, and I love that. The other is that I have both my board members of our ministry here that's based out of Fort Worth, Texas, and that's, you know both of them. You know Damien, yeah, and John Ratliff, both of those guys, so thanks for being here. And I have a friend who traveled down from Missouri. He's part of a prophetic company that we work together, and he often comes and travels when he's able to. Ron Martin is with us as well from Missouri. And I'm just going to say something on the sly. I see some other faces that and friends that are here from my past, our past. And I just want to say thanks for being here. One particular one. While I have a moment. You don't know me, but that's okay. I cry at Hallmark cards. One in particular who is a very neighbor. We were neighbors together and was a very dear and... Yeah, I'll just stop there. Sorry. Ooh, talk amongst yourselves. Do you believe that this house is supposed to have revival?
Yes.
Huh. There was a song. I don't know if you can put that up, but I'm going to go ahead. There was a song that talked about going up the mountain, and I checked out at that point because I was with the Father. Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
Help me. Can you put, is it easy to get to lyrics from here? No? Yeah. Right there. That's, I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. And as soon as they started singing that, the Lord started speaking to me about this house. And he said, this house wants revival, but to go up that mountain, you're going to have to open your hands and open them wide. What does that mean? So I asked the Lord, what does that mean? And he says, revival will not look like it did yesterday. It's a completely new place, because when you go up a mountain, you're going into a new area. You haven't been up that mountain before. That's why you're climbing the mountain. So you're climbing a mountain, and you know what? There's a lot of battle that comes against mountains when you're climbing a mountain. Do you get that? There's a lot of battle that comes. Because the enemy is not happy when you go after the things of God in a deeper place. He's just not. Why would he be? John 10:10. He's a thief. What does he come to do? To steal and to kill and destroy. Hello, that's his job. That's what he loves doing. Yes, he's a jerk. On the other side, we know that the Lord came to bring what? And how much? So full, it says. So full. So I just want to say, as you're climbing this mountain, in this desire to go after this thing, I don't even know if I want to call it revival, because revival is a term that I don't even know is necessary anymore. It's closer to reformation. It's a change, not just of the church, it's a change of culture. That's what's going to happen. It's not just going to be about the body of Christ changing. I we don't want to live here. We don't live here. We only gather here. Is that correct? Correct? Yeah, I'm right. Good. Although it's a beautiful building, and you know that. But yeah, we're here. We're so here to see the reformation of society. And there's a call on the earth right now for Malachi 4. Malachi 4 is a simple passage, and it's the fathers would return to the sons, and the sons return to the fathers. Let's quote that a little differently and just say the parents to the children and the children to the parents. Let's not leave out mothers and daughters, okay? Yeah, because this is the Father's heart. God is pouring out on the earth, especially through the prophetic right now, the heart of the Father. If I can do anything today, if I have any impact at all, if God will allow me to speak something of impact, it'll be that you will have received a deeper revelation of the Father's heart. When you do that, all of a sudden your world opens up into a bigger place. We see God bigger than we ever saw him before. We saw him more compassionate and more loving than we did yesterday. And we will never get up the mountain on yesterday's God. We have to go on tomorrow's God. See, because he's Alpha and Omega, right? So he is both and. Yeah, so we're walking into a reformation. We're walking into the sons returning to the fathers and the fathers to the sons. Do you get this? This is where you're headed, guys. And here's what's really cool about that. This is where it happens. At work, at school, at home, on the street. It will happen here, but where it really happens. So when I see a homeless ministry, that excites me. Because those men and women need fathers. And when I'm not talking fathers, I'm not talking just gender here. Do you understand? I'm talking about the heart of a father. That is not gender driven. Yeah. Boy, you're awfully quiet this morning. You know what I did? I took my glasses off so you could be sticking your tongues out right now. Or sleeping, one of the two. And both are legitimate. I have no issues. Wow. The Father's heart is such an impactful and powerful thing. Father God, I thank you for our time together. Thank you that you have some pre-planned ideas in the kingdom that you're dropping on the earth right now. We lift off any expectation of man because we don't want that. We just want what you have for us today, Father. We invite you. We know you're here. Because it said, you are. So we don't have to beg for you. You're already here. You're here in fullness. You're not a light switch. You're not an on and off button to your presence. Take us deeper into that place. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here. And we rely upon you right now. We totally rely on you. In Jesus' name, huh? Amen. So, ooh. Oh. There's a young man sitting next to I met you this morning. I'm trying to remember your name. You were back in the prayer room, Bob and Annette. I had it right. And there's a young gentleman sitting next to you. Would you be willing to stand up, sir? And would you tell me your name?
Scott.
Is that right? Did I hear right? This I got some kind of allergies from tree, you know, how you, the pollens from trees. And this ear, I mean, I played music for a number of years, and my monitor, this was my monitor ear, so I couldn't hear anyway. And now it's all plugged up from flying and this allergy thing. So people are telling me their names, and I'm going, Steve? And everybody's going like, no, Scott! I'm like, okay, dude. I mean, anyway, Scott, right? Oh, man, I got it. So I want to read this verse over you this morning. And it's Psalm 87, 7. Oh, look. Well, it's a little different translation. I'm using a New International Version. We'll forgive it. And it says, as they make music, they will sing, all my fountains are in you. Now, that's the Israelites saying to the Father, all my fountains are in you. But as I was reading this, the Lord pointed out you to me earlier, actually yesterday, and said that your fountains are full, that you, Scott, have a lot of fountains in you, and that as you release them, that flow of water that comes out of you, that living water that comes out of you, and you have four different areas in your life that are representative of the kingdom of God in your life. They're not just for ministry, they're just life in you, and you pour them out. And as you pour them out, you were worried that they were not going to get refilled. Well, they're going to get filled double portion. That's just the way it works. So I just want to encourage you. Psalms 87:7. As they make music, they sing. All my fountains are in you. That means every time you turn to the Lord and you say, Father, just fill my fountain, that means it's going to overflow. And you're a person of overflowing. That's what I love. And I'm talking about, again, I want to go back to that Father heart of God. One of those areas is a Father's heart that you carry. And it carries compassion. And especially for the lost. You have this compassion for the lost. And I just want you to pour it out. I just want to say, Lord, would you let Scott pour out that fresh water of anointing so that he's filled up double. So that I saw this little area around you, and it was like a workplace, and I saw this area around you, and you were praying for people, and of course we all pray for people that we are coming to the Lord. So that's but this was a little cubicle area, and you were working in this area, and it was like a place that, and I'm not saying that's actually what you do. What I'm saying is this is representative of what God's doing in your life. You see, this was where you are today, but as you pour out the water, That area expands. And I've been using the word here. Ever since I came here, I've been using the word parish. How many of you actually grew up, hang on, Scott, don't leave me yet, actually grew up in like a Catholic background or that were part of a parish? Yeah, a parish. When a priest has a, like if Benbrook has different regions, right? They have different areas. And there would be a church in that area. And the priest was over that area, not just the people who attended that church, everybody. So every time that priest stepped out on that ground, that was his parish, every person. And that's what he's expanding, Scott. And you've been asking, 3 months ago, you began to ask the Lord for an increase. And I believe that's what's happening right now, is that increase is happening in your life as you pour out the fountains. And what I love about this, music is a healer. Now, I'm not saying you're a musician. I don't know about that. What I'm saying is music heals, and that's what this is doing. Your fountains have a healing part of them, and especially as a father's heart. So I just want to bless that. Say, Jesus, come and fill overflowing his fountains, that he would pour out these four fountains. I went like this. I'm a Boy Scout now. Four fountains. You would pour those out over those four areas of your life. I encourage you, it's just now, I just saw four, tablets, actually, but they were like journals, but they were open. They weren't closed journals. So you had open, they were open face to you, which means you could get to them very quickly. So God is going to start pouring out things in your life, and I just want to bless that in you as you go. Anybody else agree with that? Thanks, God. Hang in there, I have to turn the pages.
I actually brought a real Bible with me. I haven't done this ever. You know, usually I just use my phone or my Kindle or, like, God said, bring your Bible. It's like, wow, so much weight to carry. Excuse me. I'm looking. Oh, cool. There is a man in blue, straight back. You have, and there's a lady right next to you. Yeah, you just turned your head. I want the lady to stand up. You can stand up with her. No, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm going to get both of you all. Cool, go ahead, stand up. This is your, oh, I forgot to tell you my rule of prophecy. Ha ha. It's a really simple rule, and you all get to obey it. So you can sit down just for a minute. I'm going to have both of you couples stand up. That's very cool. I love it. I love it when I make a mistake and God chooses anyway. So I have a simple rule of prophecy, and that is, it's just an old way of looking at it, but it's a very cool way. Here's what happens. In prophecy, it's kind of like there's two bells that are sitting next to each other, two liberty bells. One is the Spirit of God, and one is the Spirit of man. God has this hammer, and he takes out that hammer, and he rings that his bell. And what does it begin to do? It begins to resonate. It begins to resonate. And this next bell, because of frequency, it begins to resonate. To me, this is prophecy. When God speaks, our spirit begins to understand. You connecting with this? Pretty simple theory. And it's true when His Spirit speaks. That's how we judge prophecy. It's through that Spirit, when we touch God's Spirit, our spirit touches together and it connects, right? So here's the deal. Something you're going to get this morning, and you're going to say, that bozo gave it to the wrong person. Now, I don't know who Bozo is, but he'll be out in a while, and you'll go, that was for me. Well, that's because your spirit is ringing with the Holy Spirit, and I want you to take that word, okay? Because it's very important not to back away from that, but to step into it, because that word is for you as well. It's just that I've focused maybe on one or two people, okay? Do you get that? Okay, here's the other rule that goes, that's A and this is B. Part one, part two, don't take everything. No one will want to be around you. Ever again. So I want to ask you a question. When I gave Scott that word, did anybody's bell ring? Can you stand up just for a moment? Good, good. Thank you. Guys, I want you to remember this. You see, God is so generous. That's what I love about Dad. He's just so generous. So I just want to ask, Holy Spirit, right now, release this on each individual standing and the three that chose not to stand. No, I'm just kidding. Each individual right now. And we release that fountain of living water from you out into those, yeah, around you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Okay, these two couples. I'm going to get you both to stand. That's very cool. So first you guys, yeah. What's your names? Jeff and Zandra. Cool. And in the back? Say it again. Oh, yeah, Stephen, thank you, by the way, for helping me out. Stephen and Linda. I have a psalm for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Now, again, this is a passage of They're talking to the Lord, right? They're talking about the Lord. But every passage this time, I felt like was something that was for individuals, and that is for you, because the Father, when he pours out his word, it's as alive in us as it is in him. Does that make sense? For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Now here's the deal. Again, I feel like something is happening in this place that people are starting to want to go outside the walls. And they're starting to want to get out there, and this just becomes a gathering place, an ecclesia, which is just a word gather. That's all it is. Church, you know, there's no word in Scripture called church. We just translated it that way and then made it into brick and mortar. That's not the church, right? There is no such thing. The word they use is a word called ecclesia. Ecclesia is simply a gathering. It can be political, social, civil. It can be anything. It'd be a group of friends sitting at a coffee shop. It's an ecclesia. That's all it is. We happen to be in a faith-based ecclesia right now. We happen to be in the presence of God, ecclesia. And I believe that what's happening this morning is a reminder to you guys in every word that comes out that I've received in the last few days for you guys is that you are actually on the precipice of moving out of these walls. Not out as far as moving out. I'm talking about individually moving out into the community. That you're getting something and something's coming alive for you to be able to satisfy the thirst and fill the hungry with good things. And I feel like you guys are leading the way. And that there's been this thing on you, this front couple, for 7 months. Something happened 7 months ago. And in that 7 months, you're stepping up. That's another. Rachel, where are you? Rachel, was that a 7 month thing or a 7 year thing for you? 7 year thing. Seven's a cool number, isn't it? I mean, I won't go there because that'll take too long. But anyway, guys, you are about to fill the hungry and satisfy the thirsty with good things. Now, what does that mean to you? You see, every person has a different expression of this. That's why you can't have 20 million ministries in a church, in a gathering like this. You can't have it. It's not going to work. That's not what was meant. Do you know what was meant for us to do this morning? To worship God together and to be equipped for what? Ephesians 4, 11, and 12, so that we can go out there and do the work that we're called to do, each one of us. You see, we're the ones. We're it. We're the army. And he's making you into an army. Guys, he's making you as a twosome, as a couple, into an army. You see, that speaks of authority to me. That he's increasing your authority in the kingdom. He's stepping you up in your minds and in your hearts in the things of the kingdom of God. In the way you look at the kingdom. In the way you respond to the kingdom. Ma'am, I just want to say that the things that you can pour out in prayer, in intercession, are powerful. You actually satisfy the thirsty and fill the hungry all over the world right where you are. It's a powerful thing. And I saw this chair in this room, and it's like you hardly ever sit in it because you're always on your knees. And it's like, wow, it's what a heart thing you have for interceding. God's raising that up. He's giving you more authority in that arena of intercession, and I just want to bless that. Yeah. This was mostly focused on these two women, but I just felt like the husbands needed to stand with them because it's coming together, and it's, you know, your hearts are different. You have different things on your lives, but that intercession, that's a powerful and beautiful thing, by the way. It's a beautiful thing to the Lord because you get to fill that bowl, right? That's what you're doing. You just keep filling that bowl up, you know. Well, and I just want to say, the battle that waged against you about 3 months ago is being lifted off in the intercession. That's being lifted off, and you're going to be able to walk into a whole new place of again, this is authority. This is what you've been doing. You've been standing and standing and standing. It started about 3 months ago or even a little bit before, but a battle really started occurring. I just want to encourage you, keep praying, keep going after it, because this is your demarcation point, I believe God is saying, and that's why I'm bringing this up, because this is a point of demarcation for you to walk across into a new arena. And I just bless that in you guys. In Jesus' name, right? So you can sit for a moment. Linda. I don't know, but it just looks like there's hospitality written all over your head. I don't have any idea what that's about, but it's just like a big, wide old banner just sitting above your head. You know, people look at hospitality as like, oh yeah, is that a gift you carry? I tell you what, people look, that is almost just, well, there's, you know, there's prophecy, and there's this, and then there's hospitality. I do not have the gift of hospitality. I love it when I go someplace and they do have the gift of hospitality. You want some more food? Absolutely. Go to a home where their hospitality is, and it's just, you feel welcome. You just walk in. Guys, do you see how much that can affect the kingdom of God? People who are hungry for relationship that don't know Christ yet, that haven't entered into the kingdom. Wow. I saw you praying for your neighbors. And I don't know, and I could be totally wrong. I don't care about being wrong, by the way. There's nobody 100%. And it never said in Scripture that you have to be 100%. You know that Deuteronomy passage that talks about, you know, to stone the prophet? I put rocks under your chairs. It's not a wrong prophecy. Otherwise, Nathan, David's servant, would have been stoned. He gave David a wrong word. It's to lead people into false prophecy. Otherwise, to lead them away from God. To lead them away. To pull them apart. In a sense, to sever their relationship with God. So I don't mind being wrong as long as I know I'm loving that person. And Linda, I just saw your house in the middle of the street. It was really like in the middle of the section, wherever you live, and it was like in the middle. And there was somebody over here, catty corner, and this person over here, you've been praying for them and praying for them that you would get a contact, that you would really be able to meet with them, and that person is a hinge to the rest of your community. And I don't know what that has. I don't know if that's. I'm just going to say this person across the way. They're not angry. They're just a little quiet. So I want to ask the Lord right now to open up the pathway of light, of kingdom light, between your home and their home, because when they see hospitality on your life, they're going to be the gatherer that brings them in. And your home is going to become a foundation and a fountain. It's going to become a place where thirst is satisfied and hungry is filled. Wow, that really applies to you, doesn't it? That's kind of cool. I never even thought about that before. You probably love satisfying the thirsty and filling the hungry. Stephen, you're not doing too bad in that department yourself, bro. It's awesome. So, Father God, anybody ringing a bell? Ringing a bell? Anybody? Not about the hospitality thing. Okay, Rhonda? Yeah, stand up. If you're feeling you got something there, please stand up. There's a reason. Well, you don't have to, Rhonda. Oh, yeah, you do. Okay. Oh, hey. Yeah. Ooh, nice. So, and this couple that I spoke over first, could you stand up as well? Would you mind? Damien, are you here? Oh, there you are. Would you mind coming up for a minute? We doing okay? I have no idea what time it is. That's really bad for you, good for me. Can you come up here? I just felt like you needed to pray over these people. There's a microphone. Would you mind doing that? I'm going to put you on the spot, you know. You said you were with me. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. You're right. That is putting me on the spot. But that's okay. Father, I thank you for the response of their heart to you when you have asked them to satisfy the thirsty and fill the hungry with good things. So, Lord, today, in their pursuit of honoring you with their heart and with their life, Lord, I ask that you would increase the opening in heaven above them, that the flow of your glory, the flow of your promises, the flow of your goodness, the flow of your heart that demonstrates in their life towards those that you have put in front of them would increase in depth, in breadth, and in greatness, Lord. So we bless them today to stand in that place with courage and with strength in the face of everything that would come against them in society, in media, and in religion. Lord, we ask that you give them the courage to stand and to reach those that you have put around their life, that they would be that wellspring, that they would be that richness that their heart desires to demonstrate and release to those around them. We thank you for your goodness, Lord.
Yeah, I couldn't have done that. Thank you, bro. Probably should just stay up here, but that's just me talking right there. I like team. I think team in the prophetic is a lot, because, you know, Moses said, I hope that they all prophesy. We can all, you hear, if you hear from God, you can prophesy. It's just that simple. It's not like some big feat. But there are ministries of and offices of the prophetic, just as there are every other gift. But I like team. It just breathes life in a, you know, we get one piece, right? But when you have a team, all of a sudden it just opens up. You get more people, and all of a sudden you get a different God rendition of the same thing, because they're a different person. There's a couple right over here, third row, right in the middle. Yeah, hi, how you doing? You knew it was coming, didn't you? Psalms 22:5. It's really cool. I haven't done it in quite a while. It's like I started and I said, Lord, what are you doing at Capstone? And he said, I'm going to give you scripture. Okay. I haven't done that like for years. Not that he wouldn't give me, like, I like the scriptures. It's just he hasn't worked this way in me for quite a long time. So it was really kind of fun. And I really enjoyed it. And so your names are?
Thomas and Gina.
Thomas and Gina. Cool. And this is Psalms 22:5. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Mine reads just slightly different, same, just a slightly different translation. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. And I love the word not disappointed versus not put to shame. And the not disappointed, I felt, really spoke into who you are right now. Because what it speaks of is trustworthiness. It speaks of long suffering. It speaks of walking through the process. And I just feel like this verse right now is such a great verse. You cried out and were saved. Now, saved to me is not being saved as in the kingdom. Saved is whatever was coming against you, God stepped in the way. Dad stepped in the way and said, can't go here, not against them. Because you cried out. And your cry was muffled. Actually, Thomas, at five years old, I saw your mouth in the spirit literally being muffled by the enemy. And it was from an outside source. It wasn't, you know, but the enemy was using that to muffle your passion. And so you became quiet. But I don't believe that you're a quiet man. And I believe that he's opening up that passion in a greater way. And in fact, you've only touched on the edge of that exuberance, even exuberance The exuberance that just flows out of you in passion. And you know what's cool about that? Other people see it and they respond. I had the pleasure. I'm going to talk for a minute. It's just how I do it. Hang in there. So I had the pleasure of actually playing golf professionally for about 5 years. There's several tours. One is called the Flat Belly Tour. Guess what age those are? I didn't play on that tour. I played on the other tour. We were sort of the Round Belly Tour, and most people call it the Beer Belly Tour. But I had the privilege of playing 5 years, and I had several golf courses that gave me the opportunity to come and practice anytime I wanted. And when you're doing something like that, and you haven't done tournament golf in 30 years, you got a lot of catching up to do. And so I was out there 7 to 9 hours a day, 6 days a week, just working. And, excuse me, sorry, allergies, that thing really settled in. Anyway, so I was out there one day, and it's really in reference to this, and these people started gathering around. And they started watching me. And then I'd go away and I'd work on something else and I'd come back. And this happened over the course of a couple of weeks. And people would just start lining up behind and watching me practice. Finally, one day I was actually, listen, I don't want somebody watching me. I'm practicing here. You know, it's kind of like you're reading and somebody's looking over your shoulder. That's what it feels like. You know, it's kind of like, what you reading? I don't know. Go away. And they were like, they kept, these guys were standing back here. And I said, I did. I turned and I said, what are you doing? Go away. Go practice. That's what you're here for. Don't watch me. And they said, yeah, we just really enjoy it. And we don't know why. And I was out on the course later on that day. And I said, Lord, what is going on with these weirdos? And he said, they just see your passion, Byron. You see, passion comes because when we delight in the Lord, Psalms 37:4, when we delight in the Lord, he's going to grant us the desires of our heart. And that word grant or give is actually a legal term by God that he is required of himself by his own law to grant us the desires of our heart when we honestly delight in him from our hearts. Is that awesome or what? Again, that's what kind of dad we have. He made a law to himself that when we delight in him truly, he grants us the desire of heart, and passion flows out of that. You see, that's what's happened. And the enemy tried to steal that passion off of you, Thomas. And I believe that the Lord is putting that back into you incrementally. And it's like moving along in this chain. It's like a surveyor belt. And you know how a bottle comes through and you put some liquid in and then you put the cap on and then it goes and then, you know, la, 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 the label goes on. It's like that's what's happening to you in your passion. It's little by little because God doesn't want to overwhelm you. But because he's a friend. He's a good friend. So he's not going to come up and just slap you upside the head and say, hey, Thomas, get over it. No, he's bringing you along in this beautiful way. And the passion is starting to come out of you. And the exuberance. And that's going to come out in your words. Because you're a word guy. And I both mean here in this word and words that come out of your mouth and your heart and your mind. Is he a talker? Uh-huh. He's going, not really. Not really. Just ask the wife. Oh, yeah, dude, he's a talker. So I just want to bless that, Thomas, in you. I want to bless the fact that passion is pouring out of you, and it's coming out of you, and it starts to rise up out of you. And that five-year-old thing, that thing is over. It's done. There's no more of that. And it was hidden from you. You didn't even know it. It was just taken at that early age. So you wouldn't have the fullness of that passion that you have. And that passion, I mean, dude, let me say this. I heard this the other day, and I love it. David was a dancer and a warrior. He was a dancer and a warrior. And Thomas, that's what I see in your spirit, is a dancer and a warrior. And warriors can dance like nobody's business. I'm not talking ballet, dude. You don't have to do ballet. I'm just talking about the haka. I'm talking about that warrior spirit that dances in the presence of God like David did, because absolutely, absolutely just that exuberance before God. Janine? No, tell me your name again. What? Gina. Is that with a J or a G? Okay. Cool. I'm going to move on to the next verse, so don't... Thomas, I need you to stay there with your... Is this your wife? Because if not, unfortunately, I got you set up that way. Guys, this is for a lot of people in this room. Proverbs 31, 17. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for their task. Do you understand the greatest missionary movements on the earth were not started by men? Do you understand, guys, that we need to wake up and understand that we are joint heir and co-workers with women? Now, I don't know how that sits with you guys, but for me, that's what it says in the Word, so I get to proclaim that. Guys, we are in a season where we better watch out, because the Lord will slap us, guys, if we don't get it soon. Women have rights in the kingdom. They are powerful. They do their work vigorously, often far more vigorously than we do. Where we're planning and scheming, the women are just out doing it. See, that's what's scary to me. See, let's go right around the corner and just do it. Boom. We're sitting over here trying to figure out the best way to do it. Well, I think we should do it this way. Well, I think we should do it this way. Ego, 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 ego. Let's get rid of our ego, man. I'm serious now. Janine, I think that... I got to figure out what that name means. Because I just got Janine stuck in my brain. Jenna. Gina. Somebody save me right now. Well, this is where my wife would be sitting up front going, no, stop using her name, man. Stop using her name. Gina. I got it? Yes. Gina, I feel like what's happening, and here's the deal. I have a feeling you're Hispanic. I don't know what gave me that thought, but my son-in-law is from El Salvador. We have the most incredibly beautiful grandchildren, and it's not because I'm just a grandfather either. Gina, because there is a move happening on the earth right now. Have you heard about it? 1 billion people. There is a call on the earth right now for 1 billion people to come to the kingdom. And a big part of that is the Hispanic culture that's going to start in California and swing across the country. It's going to happen. And some of the guys, we're going to have to get out of your way. Because you do your work vigorously, Gina. And your arms are strong for your task. I want to encourage you. God gives you all the strength to step up into places you cannot imagine yourself being. And as a girl of 12 years old, you knew you were a warrior. You're kind of that princess warrior, Xena. But you are. You're a warrior, and you're a princess to the king. And she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. Ladies, is anybody connecting with this as women? I'm telling you what, you guys are stepping into a season in the kingdom of God that is powerful, powerful, powerful. And the reason I believe that the Lord has me speaking to you specifically is because of your heritage. Because of that heritage in your life. Because it's not. It's for all women. It's for all women who are standing, and they've stood for a long time, and they keep battling, and they keep fighting, and they keep being vigorously going after it, and they have strength now to stand up and do something. And men, I'm telling you, I can't get enough of this. We have got to not back down. We've got to let them labor with us. Or I'll tell you what, God will set them forward. God is not afraid of women. Do you get it? He created us male and female with a powerful place in the earth, both of us. And it's pouring out on the earth like crazy right now. So I want to bless you. I'm going to do this. I have a friend with me, Ron Martin. You don't know him, but he's a very respected prophetic man. If you would let me, he's a man I trust, and if you don't, you can talk to me. Actually, I have my board here. You can talk to them. No. Ron, would you come up? I really want you to pray over this and talk just briefly about hearing big. Do any other women in this place get in this thing? Anybody? I'm assuming. Would you stand, please? Because there is a door opening right now. I love that analogy. There's a door opening. This is Ron Martin from Springfield, Missouri. And would you just speak real briefly about hearing big and then pray for these guys, these ladies?
And right before I do that, third row back, right here, you, yeah. Could you stand up with this group? Because the Lord told me you were questioning whether you were part of this group, and he specifically told me if I got this opportunity, that I was supposed to have you stand because you needed that confirmation. So, hearing big, it was about, I guess, 2 weeks ago. Hi. I always look down when I talk, so I'm going to look up this time. About 2 weeks ago, the Lord just gave me this phrase, and he said, I want hearing bigger. And with it, he started to kind of unfold it to me as the weeks have progressed. And the idea is attached to several different scriptures. The first is Matthew 6. And towards the end there, we all know the verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. But what I love about the broader message of those last few verses is he starts with this incredible, hey, look how I treat the birds of the air and the flowers of the field and how beautifully adorned and how well taken care of they are. Then he explicitly goes and says, and I'm going to take care of your needs for food and shelter and clothing. And all of that is this build-up to verse 33 where he's saying, I'm letting you know all of this about how I am with provision and what I'm providing for you so that you can entrust me with those things and no longer have to ask me for those things because they're givens in the kingdom and they poise you to have the freedom to step into verse 33, which says, I have the freedom to seek him first. And then he goes even one step further after that and says, and if you'll seek me first, if you'll entrust me with those things, then I will give you all the other things that you need as well. So that was kind of the first layer of, because I'm asking the question, well, how do we start hearing bigger then? If that's what you're wanting, what does that mean and how do we do it? And the first step to me was, we've got to learn to entrust him with the given things so that it's not stealing, the smaller things, so that they don't steal our focus. But instead, we entrust him with those things and we step into wholeheartedly the pursuit of him. And that all things will be added to you is not something that we produce, but it is something that rises up. That the all things includes the passion and the desire and also the provisions of other things. And so that was the first part. The second part was in Psalm 24, and you see, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, so that the King of glory may enter in. And the term gate, in the Old Testament, a gate had a structure across the top. And whenever something bigger than the gate needed to enter into the city, they would lift up the head, because that structure was called the head. And so you're lifting up the head. Well, obviously, you as warriors and all of us as people in the kingdom are gates. And in hearing bigger, To me, there's something in the Lord's heart. The whole phrase, even though it's talking about how do I prepare right now, what it says to me is there is a hunger in the Father's heart to bring something bigger through individuals, through individual gates, the individual gates of cities and territories or parishes that you were mentioning, that you walk in and that you represent and that God has given you authority in. And so we're to lift up our heads because the King of Glory wants to enter in. He's bigger than us. He's bigger than our, maybe our even predefined gates and structures, but he wants to enter in his way. So now he's looking for people who are willing to hear bigger, willing to step into a place and say, you know what, I give you the small stuff, and I could sit all of my life worrying about where are my provisions coming from, and whether I should be doing this or whether I should be going here, you know, all the small things. And instead we just say, you know what, today I'm just going to seek you. I don't know where that'll take me. It might leave me here at home and just spending time with him. It might lead me out somewhere on an adventure. It might be a prophetic word that he gives you for somebody, and they really need it. And so hearing bigger to me then is about an opportunity that we have in the kingdom. You don't have to embrace the upgrades, because I think Matthew 6 is an upgrade for a lot of people. I remember the first time I stepped into the experience of it, not just the memorization of it, not just the belief in it, but I stepped into an experience. And so, Father, right now, I just want to pray for this group.
Wait just a sec.
Okay.
So I want to... Yeah, go ahead, sorry. I'll wait. Let me back in my corner.
Yeah. You're a good Father. Really good. You're amazingly good. We just exalt you and we acknowledge you that though we are small in your eye, we are big because we are the apple of your eye. We are special to you, and you take such amazingly good care of us. We don't see 90% of the things you're doing behind the scenes that orchestrate around and in our lives and the place of trust. So, Father, right now in this room and for the people standing, I ask that you just, Holy Spirit, that you would just usher in a grace to trust you like we have never trusted you before. And we proclaim, Father, and I proclaim over this room, the largesse and the grandeur and the majesty and the supremacy of the Father, that there is not one need you haven't seen and provided for, that you have not already placed in our path the provision that we need, that you have freed us up to stand in a place where we can say, I will go and seek you first and not worry about this other stuff. A grace, Father, to trust you with those places and to step into, and this is what I'm asking for, Father, is to these people to step into a place and into an experience of Matthew 6, 33. And then with that, as we prepare our hearts, that we would begin to hear the bigger things of your heart. And I just want to bless the warriors, mm-hmm. Father.
Yeah.
People who know how to stand up, who don't need other people to usher them along, because you're hungry for your own pursuit and your own walk with the Lord. Doesn't mean you're not operating within a company, but there is a solidarity that he's building in you and a grace. And so I want to call up that courage, that boldness that comes only from the Holy Spirit, that kind of scares us sometimes, but yet gives us the grace to step into things that maybe we wouldn't normally choose on our own. And Father, I ask that you would begin to equip both the minds and the hands of the people and the hearts of these warriors that are standing in Jesus' name with weapons of warfare that come from a place of majesty and focusing in on you and who you are, Father, in Jesus' name.
Excuse me, sorry. And you're not a lot nicer looking at to look at as warriors than the guys. I just want to say, did anybody's bell ring when I was talking to Thomas about that passion? Could you stand? Don't raise your hands. Just stand up because it's a lot better that way. Yeah. Yeah. Now, this is interesting. Yeah. Father, I want to bless that passion in this moment. That you would release to a new place the light in you. That the desires of their heart would come alive in new ways. Yeah. Just want to bless you guys. Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to jump over to Ecclesiastes. Not always a good book to go to. When the Lord said, go to Ecclesiastes, I was kind of like, no, I think you missed that one, God. Blessed is the land whose king is of noble birth, and whose princes eat at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. This is not a rebuke, by the way. This is actually a blessing. Blessed is the land. Okay? Blessed is the land. I saw this couple back here. You have on a man, a husband, I think you're a husband and wife. You never just know anymore. You just don't know. Yeah, you just looked at me. He's kind of, you know, yes, ma'am, you too. You too. Could you stand up for me? Do you mind? Are you members here? Okay. And your names are? Say it again. Tia. My aunt? Okay. Cool. And Robbie. I'm sorry. I'm really having troubles hearing. I feel really old right now. Oldish. Sorry. I'm oldish. Blessed are you, O land, whose king is of noble birth and whose princes eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Now, the whole thing for me is, blessed is the land, and the Lord brought me about you guys about noble birth. When you come into the kingdom, we come into noble birth. And for me, what the Lord was saying about this couple is the integrity that you carry on your lives. And he kept bringing up integrity and character and all these things in the kingdom that you have built and grown and matured in all through the years. And you've taken the strong road. And to me, that's noble. And that's why we're all sons and daughters of the King if we are in Christ, right? I mean, that's foundational. That's layer one. I mean, if you don't know that yet, man, we need to get that in you really seriously. Because to be a child of the King, that's ground level. You're standing on that every day. But that's not your full identity. Heaven sees you a lot broader than just a son and daughter. And even though that is enough in itself, he has created you with more. And I believe he's created you with this deep, integrous heart and minds and even an outlook of that you are an integrous couple and that, people see that on your lives and you've gotten to live that on your lives. Character. Which means to me, it's probably been bombarded. It's probably been challenged. Sidebar. I just saw business all over your life, sir. It was like this spirit of entrepreneurship, of just being able to have these ideas. You just need somebody. It's like, this is a completely sidebar. I love sidebars. Yeah, it's like there's this genius in you of this, of seeing things that can get done. And in when I say business, I just mean these creative waves of companies and ideas. And just, I want to ask the Lord to bring you someone alongside you who will be your opposite in that, that can help bring those to life. Because is this true, sir? I mean, do you have, it's like, I just see your mind going, and it's like got ideas and thoughts and creativity, but there's nobody there to get them done right. And so, Lord, I just ask, is, you know, if anybody knows this couple and they know that's true, then pray with me. Father, I just pray a release of that person into their life. And I don't know if that's your bride or if that's somebody else, but Lord, I just pray for that person to come along and to release that person into his life so that those ideas can come to life, because it's a kingdom moment for you coming, sir. 20 years, you've had these reoccurring thoughts about different ideas, and they come and go. You see, that's a man who's a time and seasons. You understand the times and the seasons. So you're a man who gets that. You understand those times and seasons. You understand what's necessary in this moment, and you'll see it done. You actually see it happening, and you go, oh, I had that idea. Well, may that be now come alive. Yeah. Back to this. People of noble birth. I just want to bless that noble birth in you. Because, and princes eat at the proper time. It's not a time of day. It's not, okay, I eat breakfast at 8 and lunch at noon and dinner at 5. That's not proper time. It's when to eat to be strengthened. So look at this spiritually. Now is a time for you to eat in proper times, to begin to hear God in a new way. That's what this speaks of for me, is that you're getting an increase in how to hear from the Father so that you're able to know exactly when to eat of goodness of God so that you gain strength, so that you gain strength. And for me, when I asked the Lord, I said, what's the drunkenness? And he said, it's just the inability to hear correctly. And so what the Lord is saying, blessed is the land of noble people, whose princes, they eat at the right time. They eat the right stuff at the right time. That's all that is. Eating properly, right, is not a time frame. It's what you put in your body. And so that creates strength. You're putting things in your spirit right now. They're going to create new strength. And I want to bless that into your lives, into your home, over your home, your doorway has expanded in the spirit, in your home, in your literally in your home. In these moments, I just encourage you literally to go to your home and place your hand on your door as you walk in every time for the next season of time. Ask the Lord how long. And literally every time you walk in the door, put your hand on the door frame and say, we receive the increase. Because sometimes it's agreed with him that we have to do that. And he gave me this. He gave me these words for you. In a noble birth, there is a noble path. In a noble birth, there is a noble path. And you are people who walk a noble path. And I think I'm just here to bless you and say thank you for walking a noble path. Yeah. Anybody's bell ringing on that one? No, wow. Ah, yeah, stand up if that speaks to you. Yeah, oh, I like that. Yeah. Father God, thank you for people that are stepping up into noble pathways, that are eating fresh of your spirit. Lord, increase at this moment the doorways of their homes, both in the spirit and in the natural. Lord, give them greater strength to hear and to see and to receive your revelation, that they might walk even further on that noble pathway. in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to do one more thing real quick. And I see we're coming to a good point in time, I think, right? Would you say that?
Yeah.
See, I want to be the good uncle. I want to be the guy that, you know, you go, he's not a bad guy, he can come back, you know. It's not the bad uncle guy. No. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and to have it to the full. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I want to speak to the house for a moment. I think the enemy has been trying to steal, to kill, and destroy some move that I talked about earlier on this place. And that's just fine and dandy. I don't have any issues with a battle. In fact, if we don't have battle, I'm kind of bored. Just a little bit. I like breaks. It's good to have R&R. And he gives us those respites. But I tell you what, if there's no battle going on, there's probably nothing happening. I mean, I know that's an old adage, but it is true. So I just really want to encourage you. There has been a battle going on. And it's been going on about 4 months. I didn't talk to you guys, I haven't talked to you at all about, I don't know what's going on. I'm just saying there's a battle in the heavenly that's being waged against Capstone at this moment. To kill and steal and to destroy the flow and move of God on the earth through you. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? To climb that mountain, we have to open our hands and let Him move us where He will. We have to take our old mindsets off of what we think will happen or what happened in the past. It ain't gonna work. It's a new thing. You can be a part of that, and I believe you are a part of that. In fact, I believe you have a region. You already have a region. You don't have to work at it. It's already there. But it's not going to look like it did. So for you who are thinking, I want it to look like 1994, back in the, you know, renewal back then, or I want it to look like the Jesus movement, or I want it to look like this movement, or I want it to look like Latter-day Rain, or I want it to look like this, you'll be disappointed, and I don't want you to be disappointed. I want you in the battle. I want you right in the midst of the battle. So if I can be so bold as to say, climb the mountain, open your hands as the body of Christ, put all the things away that you thought should be or would be, and let Him pour into you something fresh, something new that's happening on the earth. I believe that there is a call on the earth right now for 1 billion people to come into the kingdom. And it's not going to look like it. It's not going to look like it did. You know, I wanted it to look a little like the Jesus movement. It's not going to. It's going to have a lot of varieties. It's going to have a lot of different things, and you get to be a part of that. It's very cool. He is here to steal the thief, the silly thief. And I have come, Jesus is speaking, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, this is what you get to pour out, full life, right? Yeah. Hey, could you do me one favor? Anybody who, you know, I gave a word to, or they gave, you know, touched, and anybody who received something from the Lord as far as when the bell rang, would you stand with me now just for a moment? I want us to honor the Lord. Because He's really good. Thank you, Rhonda. Blessing on that foot. May it heal quickly. May it heal quickly. I want you to look around the room. I just want you to take an account. This is what God does. I love it. So when you leave this room, I want you to make sure to hold on to what God spoke to you in your heart. And if that's only one piece of that morsel, hang on to that baby, okay? Don't let it go. That's yours. You own it. But don't set it on a shelf and never come back to it. There's conditions in those words that you have to activate. God is not looking for a one-way channel. He's looking for a partnership, guys, okay? He's looking to partner with us. He's not going to do it on his own. If you're waiting for God to fulfill your promises, he won't do it without you. He's a dad. Remember, dads do stuff with their kids. That's what he's doing. So take that word, and I just bless that in you, and I ask that to be multiplied in your lives. I thank you for listening. I thank you for your hearts to listen. I thank you for the joy that you receive. Can everybody stand? Just so you get a break. You know, that's why we do this, right? Everybody's you're all like, please let me stand. No, guys. The army is right here. You are it. That's what I love about, again, I love about Dad. It's not the one, it's empowering the one. God is always empowering the one to do it, go after those people out there, to do the stuff that God has laid out on your hearts so we can see people come into the kingdom. Ultimately, for me, that's what this is all about. God will never be satisfied with the size of his family. Never. And I simply ask the Holy Spirit to come in this moment, open our hearts to delight in him in a greater way, that we might pour, that our desires of our heart would be released on the earth in so many ways that it will touch the people in our lives, family, friends, workmates, schoolmates, the person across the grocery counter, the guy, wherever it is. That's you. That's what we get to do together. This is the army. This is not the army. These are just the folks who I'm hoping, if you can walk out of here with anything, that you would know you're it. Tag. God has created you to be it. And you're the guys that get to do it. And I do too. But I just want to encourage you. There's so much in this room right now, so much in this room that God wants to release on the face of the earth. And it's right here. Amen? Amen. Thanks, guys, so much.